You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, Father, for tonight. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this afternoon. We thank you, Lord God, Father, that you are with us throughout the day. And Father, we ask you, Lord God, Father, as you've been with us all day, Lord God, we ask you to seal this evening, Lord God, Father, with your word, with your presence, Lord God. Seal it with your peace. Seal it, Lord God, Father, with the confidence, Lord God, as we walk out of here knowing, Lord God, that you are breathing in us as we are exhaling, Lord God, things, Lord God, that you want removed. We are inhaling things that you want to remain. So we thank you for today. Thank you for this moment. Father, we won't take advantage of this moment. You said tomorrow is not promised, so we thank you for this moment. We will not stay in yesterday. We will rest in this moment. And I thank you, Lord God, Father, for everyone with the opportunity to hear this word, that you not only speak to them, but that they are in a receptive mode to be able to receive what thus saith the Lord unto your children. So speak to us tonight, Lord God. Don't, Lord God, keep a word from us, Lord God. Don't sugarcoat it, Lord God. Give us what we need, not always what we want. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Get comfortable in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to just jump right into this word relatively quickly, I want to give a shout out to my sister, Asia Gross, who today is her birthday. Amen. So we get a whoop whoop and a whoop whoop and an ow all to her. Amen. Amen. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on. It's always something when you are, you know, at church on your birthday, that means you must love God or you were pulled here. Either way, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to get into this word tonight. And so what we're going to talk about, I'm going to just entitle this something. Let me just call it the adjustment and we'll see where we go at the end of this thing. All right, let's just find out where we are at the end of this. So we're going to start out by calling this the adjustment. And it's very important for us to understand is that we are all in the midst of an adjustment. I won't even ask who am I speaking to because you know I'm speaking to you. All right. With this being said, I want you to understand that we are all in the midst of, quote unquote, an adjustment. You can fill in the blank what type of adjustment you are in, but one thing is for sure, that we are all in an adjustment. And we are adjusting something. We are moving from something, being transitioned into something else. Our mindsets are being adjusted. On a physical sense, we're being adjusted. We're being moved physically, spiritually, mentally. We're being moved. And that's an adjustment because as God is elevating us, we're still being transitioned as he's elevating us. And that can be messy at times because not all of us are good movers. Amen. I'm not going to put anybody out there, but my family, I'm not going to talk about them. But all of the Grosses are horrible movers. Okay, did I say that out loud? Sure I did. And so my family, they're horrible movers, and I hate moving my family. I love them dearly, but I hate moving them because on moving day, they're still packing. It drives me bonkers, okay? I mean, you give them weeks. They know when the truck is coming, all this stuff. And as the movers are picking up boxes, they're putting things in other boxes. And then there's no more tape. They're not even taping up the boxes. I know, Chelsea. It's just stuff everywhere. And then I got to figure out how are we going to position these boxes and trucks, because if they were taped properly and stacked properly, we could stack them properly. See, it's a mess, I'm trying to tell you. And so my mind, my organization, it just drives me crazy. And then I'm praying to the Lord for more peace. And it's so by the end of the move, I'm exhausted physically, spiritually, emotionally. You understand what I mean. And so with that, but some of us are like efficient movers. Okay. Everything is lined up, boxed up, labeled, boom, boom, boom. You know, efficient to the max that you can just tell movers, okay, this goes there, or it's all labeled, this goes living room, blah, blah, blah. And so all of us are moving, even when some of us are still packing while we're moving. And so, did you get that? You see how I dropped that in there? I know, all those years of training, I dropped it right in there. And see, with that, I need you to understand, just because you're not efficient doesn't mean you still don't have to move. Are we getting this? Oh, okay, I see the head nods. Okay, there we go, we're plugged in. And so I want you to understand that you're going to have to move, whether it's a sloppy move or an efficient move. And so once you get this in your mind that God says move, you know you have to go. Amen. Now, you're only going to make it hard on yourself the slower you are with it, or the more you want to stay and look around of where you've lived for a while. And you want to look at all the memories. Listen, take the memories with you, but you have to go. Are we getting this? And listen, the more efficient you are, the less you have to clean up later. But the less efficient you are, the more, even when the move is over, and that's the thing, even when the move is over and you've transitioned, you still have to clean up. There's still a mess that you have to clean up. Amen. So we can help ourselves with the transition if we work with God. Sometimes we're praying against what's ordained by God. He is bringing everything. He's letting us know. Listen, you've changed the utilities. It's no longer even in your name. In other words, God has transferred the power and authority. Legally, you shouldn't even be there anymore. Are we getting this? And yet, we still are treating things like it's ours when we've been stripped of the jurisdiction of being there. Are we getting this? And so sometimes we make it way harder than it is. We're the ones causing the issue. We look silly, fighting for something that not even ours anymore, according to God. He's already changed the utilities. You belong over here. He's already called the proper people. Your gift has already made room for you. The reason you're frustrated in your purpose, because you don't belong here anymore. Your gift is over there. The room is over there. You're feeling squeezed because you're staying in a place that you're no longer called to be in. So when we talk about this, we talk about the adjustment. This is why I say that we all are in an adjustment. No matter what age, and the Bible says God is no respecter of person. And all my life since I've been a believer, I always say, you know what, Lord, if I could just add one thing in there. When he says he's no respecter of person, I always say, cool, can I just add and or age? Because he's no respecter of person, but he's no respecter of age. You say, well, hi. Well, if you read the word, and even with Jeremiah, he let them know, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So even when Jeremiah was saying, well, wait, I'm too young to do what you're saying I'm supposed to do, and God is saying, what are you talking about? God's not concerned about that age. He let us know that with Jeremiah. He let us know that even with Sarah, that no matter how old you are or young, his purpose has no age. Amen. Are you getting this? So this is why I always say, It's never too late. I always say better late than never. Amen. This is why I always say, don't worry about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Worry about the what I can do right now. Are we getting this? So the adjustment. Say to yourself, look at yourself, talk to yourself for a moment and say, self, you are in the midst of an adjustment. You are transitioning. Don't be silly in the moment. Don't be silly in the moment. Don't let your emotions keep you from your destiny. Are we getting this? Some of the excuses we use? I've been here so long. Two words for you, so what? I've done this for so long. Two words for you, so what? Why are we going to let experience or time stop us from purpose and or destiny? Are you getting what I'm saying? Who did God tell to leave this country and to a place that I will show you? Where are my Bible scholars? That's right. He told him, leave everything. Leave what you know. Leave your training. Leave your familia or family. Amen. Amen. And I got to get ready for my Espanol La Casa. You know, we always have to be ready. Okay. So, you know, listen, if you always are ready, you don't have to get ready. I'm just saying. All right. Anyway, boom. That just happened. So what we want to know from the Bible's perspective, if God shook up Abraham, if God dropped a new generation on Sarah, dropped a huge purpose on Jeremiah, dropped a huge calling on Moses with the communication issue. It's not about our feelings and our comfortability. This is what we need to understand. So this is why I always say, the Lord doesn't care about how you feel. What he cares about is how you're going to respond. So we can woe is me and all we want. God is saying, are you going to do what I called you to do? And this is why I say all the time, we think ourselves out of a blessing. We think ourselves out of the next level. We rationalize ourselves out of the will of God. We say, well, this doesn't make sense. Who said it had to make sense? If it's the word of God, it doesn't have to make sense to us. Oh, come on, somebody with me. We're trying to bring his word down to our earthly level and make it make sense to us. Hallelujah. Well, how can something so high make sense to us when our thought process has been so low? We have to be able to come up to where he is for a while before anything that God says makes sense. Have you ever gave your life to God and things were just woozy for a season? And it took you a minute, I'm saying a minute, but way longer than a minute, to be with God for things to actually start making sense, because for a while you just was like a lost puppy. You just like, okay, but none of this makes sense. We have to raise our standard high enough to even understand that there's a standard above what we've ever held. Hallelujah. The adjustment. We should always. You know, one thing, I was about 4 o'clock today. All of a sudden, I got drained. All of a sudden, it's like something took over me physically. And I could barely stand. So much so that I was like, what is going on with me physically? I mean, literally, like, I was drained. So much so, by 4:15, I said, I have to go and lay down. I have to lay down in the bed. And I laid there for about 15 minutes. I said, Lord, I don't know what this is, but cover me. So I laid there, got up 15 minutes after that. And I said, okay, now whatever that was, let me move on. I went and sat on the couch and start getting ready to get in the zone before this word, right before I had to take out trash. Okay. I know. Back up off me. Anyway, so I was getting in the zone before I had to take out trash, and I'm in the zone, and God says, you have to understand something. If you're not constantly adjusting, then you're constantly settling. And I said, I have to write that down. I do that a lot. And I was like, I have to write it down. So I had to write it down. And he says, if you're not constantly adjusting, you're constantly settling. If you don't adjust to the will of God, you're settling to the will of your flesh. If you're not constantly adjusting to what God is doing, you'll settle to what you've been doing. That thing messed me up. I said, Lord, that's all 2021. I'm going to be saying that the rest of 2021. Right? I know. Listen, blew my mind. God adjusted to me. I said, listen, for the rest of the year, because it's so true that if we're not, and see, we get settled in to a way or philosophy or what worked, past tense, and we try to make what worked work now. Amen. Or we try to pull from relationships into these relationships now. We compare relationships from old to relationships of new. We compare church experiences from back then to church experiences here. We're constantly, if we're not constantly adjusting our mind, we're settling to where our thoughts were previously. And that's how we cause damage. That's how we think things are worse than they are. Because we've pulled something from before into what is now. We're comparing what you're saying. We're not even listening to what you're saying. We're comparing what you're saying to what they said to see if what you're saying is really what they said. Not even really hearing what you're saying because I'm too busy comparing than to listen. And that's what we do. And then we go. And we talk to somebody else to find out what do they think about what was said, even though we didn't hear it. We want somebody else to interpret what we didn't hear because we were too busy comparing. The adjustment. And then they wonder, well, how do they say it? So now you're working more on inflections than what was said. So let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, I want you to go to verse number 19. Daniel 2:19. When we get it, we're going to read Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through verses 23. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Are we there? Almost? Close? Figuring it out? Around the corner? Okay. Somebody come help out front row. So I want to make sure that we're getting this. Amen. So it says in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And I'm saying it over and over and over. I want to get this in your spirit. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Yes, Daniel, chapter 2, verse number 19. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel. The secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Somebody shout secret. Somebody shout vision. You didn't really shout vision. You got slower. That was weak. Boy, we got to practice. It was okay. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then. Somebody shout then. See, I didn't say somebody save then. And I said somebody shout then. Man, y'all a tough crowd. Somebody shout then. If you want a boom, you got to give a boom. See, you want a boom, but you're not willing to give a boom. See, you can't even produce it. How you want to receive something you can't even produce? That's what we do. We ask God for something we don't even give him. We want to shout, but we won't shout. I could go there, but that's not where I'm trying to go. But we wonder why I'm not getting what I'm asking, but are we giving what we're asking? I'll let that settle in later when you're going home. Then I'm driving all by myself. Then I'm sitting on the couch by myself. Then I'm taking a break from my in between my Zoom meetings. Then I'm taking 15 minutes from my child before I give them some Benadryl for them to go to bed. Joking as we're streaming on live TV. Joke. Then. Val, we're streaming. Joke. I'm trying to protect you, Val. Joke. Okay, we don't want nobody coming asking us questions after service. Joke. Trust your pastor. Trust your pastor. Amen. Love you. Then the secret. Then the secret. The secret. Where's your then? Where's your then? And he's trying to give you a secret. Why are you telling what God? Why are you talking about the secret? God interrupted you. He didn't interrupt them. God stopped you. He didn't stop them. Why are you stopping them after he stopped you? To tell them about something that if he wanted them to know, he would have said it publicly. It wouldn't have been a secret. And not only that, but the secret was finally revealed, which means the secret was there a long time. It was finally. You've been walking and exercising and living with the secret, but all of a sudden, boom, God has revealed something that's been there with you. You've been with the secret, but he couldn't reveal the secret until the moment of then. Oh, you're getting this. Oh, sometimes when God puts something in you, like when I'm sitting on my couch trying to get in the zone before I take out the trash, and then he dropped it on me. If you're not constantly adjusting, you're always constantly settling. That was my then. That was my secret. That was revealed unto me. Oh, my God, you're right. Lord, I have to always make sure that I'm in a proper adjustment, not from what I want, not from what I see, but what you want for me and what you want me to see. I can't even focus on how I heard it. I have to focus on how you want me to hear it. Tough crowd. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. The night vision doesn't mean night time. Sometimes in the night vision means dark place. Doesn't mean you have to be sleepy. It means things have to be dark in your situation. Doesn't mean it's night time. He didn't say in night time. He says night vision, which means night for you. You see it dark. Oh, this is too good for y'all. This is too good for y'all. This is too good. I've already preached myself happy. I can get ready and close and go home. Amen. This is blessing me. I'm about to lose it up in here. Sometimes God won't reveal the secret unto you until it gets so dark it's night for you. And then he'll show you the secret. He'll reveal it to you in a dark time. So that way, that vision, that night dark vision, is the light to get you out of the dark place. Sometimes it's not dim enough for the night vision to kick in. So sometimes God has to let things become so dark that you're like, Lord, where you at? So he can reveal something. You can say, okay, now I can see. Ooh. Have you ever said, Lord, where are you? Lord, I've been this. And then you drop that, Lord, I've been faithful. And then you know, you Christians. And then you break the, and Lord, I've even been tithing. Where are you at? And then he doesn't answer. And then he lets it get darker. And then he gives you a revelation. He didn't answer that. He revealed something else. It was a secret for you. Now you can see your way out. That's called the adjustment. And it gave you the adjustment. Chelsea, can you hit the on, Uncle? Back up off me, Val. You got a jacket, a blanket, a fur coat. Okay, a heating pad. Back up off me. With that being said, we got a whole storage facility just for Val. Okay. The adjustment. Sometimes God has to, like he has to wait. You don't just put your shades on as soon as you wake up. You have your shades waiting for it to get your shades. No, your sunglasses shades. Work with me. You put your sunglasses on when it gets bright enough. Put the shades, sunglasses, those shades. Work with me, people. I know, boop, I know. Sunglasses, shades. Y'all not as cool as I am. When I say shades, I'm thinking, it's okay. You'll get there. The point is, you put your sunglasses on. You don't just put them on when you wake up in the morning. You don't put your sunglasses on when you're brushing your teeth. And even when you carry them out there, you don't put them on until it's bright enough that it changes your vision and you say, I'm going to need these. That's what God does. Sometimes he lets it get so dark that he gives you a visual adjustment by giving you a revelation in the darkness so you can see through that thing. So that you can be able to say, this too shall pass. Seasons must change, because he's shown you your way out of it. So now you can walk as though you're no longer in it. You can call those things to be not as though they are. You're speaking as though you're not in it, even though you are. Because why? Because God has shown you. He's given you a night vision. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Have you ever been able to say, I'm here, but this is not where I belong? Have you ever been able to say, I'm here, but I won't stay here? Have you ever been able to say, things are not going my way, but I'm blessed and highly favored? Have you ever been able to say that things are rough, but my God is good? Have you ever been able to say that everybody that you thought loved you has left you, but then you've been able to say, though they slay me, yet will I trust you? Sometimes he has to let things get so dark for the thing to be revealed that you never needed them in the first place. You never needed it in the first place. Greater is he that's in you. And that's when you let his Holy Spirit come on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But you can't walk that and have that adjustment until you let him come in fully this time, not partially. Not come in when they're not around, but come in always. So I want you to stay. Even if they can't stay when you're here, then that means they can't stay, period. Okay, that's a whole another message. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven after God gave him a night vision. Daniel answered, verse number 20, and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, not as long as things are going well in my life. He didn't say, blessed be the name of the Lord as long as I have some money in my checking account. Blessed be the name of the Lord as long as I win the Ohio Vax-a-Million, which they should be calling my name in about a minute and 26 seconds. We'll share. You know, I'm a gracious pastor. Amen. They should be calling my name in a minute and 26 seconds. Amen. All right. So he says in 20, blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever, not conditionally. Did you get that? Not conditionally. Forever. For wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. He's not saying, I want all of the wisdom and I want to look strong. He's saying the wisdom and the strength or the might is his, and I pull mine from him. Daniel wasn't having a cocky moment. He wasn't having an arrogant moment. He wasn't trying to say, it's all about me. He was saying, like Jesus did, it's unto the Father. Are we getting this? Verse number 21, it says, and he changes the times and the seasons. Ooh. He changes. God changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and set up kings. If I had a church, you'd understand that sometimes you have to understand, I am in an adjustment. God is, he's not delaying anything. He is moving on my behalf. He is removing kings so that I can take my throneship. He's removing some queens so that I can take my throne. If I had a church, you'd understand that God has you waiting in line for you to take your rightful position. But you can't take your rightful position. Oh, I'm happy now, Jesse. You cannot take your rightful position until he removeth someone that's operating with something that has your name on it. Didn't we talk about how God has already changed the name on the utilities? And there are people there with no authority because he's changed the name on the deed and it belongs to you. But he's moving some things and some people out of the way. Greater is he that is in you. Greater. But is he in you? Because if he's in you, he has to get to where he's called to be in you. Your destiny is waiting for your faith to receive it. Your destiny is waiting for your faith to receive it. That's why Jesus said, be it unto them according to their faith. We know about the mustard seed. Forget the mustard seed. We want to see your faith. We want to see it. We don't want to have to come up to you with a magnifying glass to find out if you believe. That's mustard seed faith. Yes, things will work with that, but come on, we want to see it. Where's the adjustment in you? God doesn't want a believer to have to come up to you with a magnifying glass to find out if you are a believer. They should see it. They should feel it. Hallelujah. The adjustment, we should always be in the process of making an adjustment without making excuses. We should be making the adjustment, not making the excuses. While we're transitioning, we shouldn't say, I have my I can keep sinning card because I'm transitioning. Hallelujah. How many times do we deal with people who want to give us their excuse of why they can complain, why they're saying they're waiting on God? How many times people call me on the phone telling me they're tired when they haven't done anything for the Lord? He changes in verse 21. He changes the times and the season. Stop right there, Val, if you hear me. He changes the times. He changes the seasons. We don't change the seasons. We just have to, if I say if you're always ready, you don't have to get ready. If you're always ready, when he changed the season, you're ready to go with the season as it changes. You are in line with the clock of Jesus, not the clock of the world. Oh, my God, I done preached myself happy. Go, Pastor, go, Pastor, go, 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 go. So I have a whole bunch of things going on in my head. I don't need y'all. I don't need a cheerleading section. He changes the times and he changes the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. As you begin to know understanding, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And all that things get what? But what is the principal thing? Wisdom. And when you get understanding, you get God. The more that you get wisdom, you get God. The more that you stop getting what you thought you knew and get what God has said, and you start speaking what God said, not what you used to say. It's not about your vocabulary changes. You don't always say, well, I always say. Well, if you keep always saying, God can't say nothing new. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. I'm giving y'all too many scriptures. Keep up with me. Stace, I got all these scriptures in my head. I feel like rain, man. I'm just... If I didn't get in trouble, I'd say, let's go to Vegas. I'm feeling this thing. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He revealeth. So I am so tired of dealing with these Christians that think they know everything about the Lord because he blessed them a little bit and told them a little bit. Now you can't tell them nothing. He revealeth the deep and secret things. God does. We know nothing without him. We can do nothing without him. All of our gifts are without repentance of him. He gave them to us. We operate in them because of him. If he decided to do a Lot's wife on us, we would stop right in the middle of what he gave us the ability to do. All of this woo that I'm doing up here. If he decided, that's it. As horrific as it sounds, I could be one stroke away from never communicating again. And we take advantage and we think, I'm doing this because I'm gifted and God has blessed me. Whoa. That's one. He is allowing us to do what we do. Yes, yes. He's allowing us to think on our own. Even in pain, he's allowing us to get up on our own. Yes. Even with medications to help us do it, we're able to do it.
Thank you, Lord God. Yes.
He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He knows it all. He separated the light from the darkness. He spoke to the void. He spoke to the darkness and said, let there be light. He did it. We have to make the adjustment unto what he has already done and what he is doing. We have to make the adjustment. He doesn't have to adjust to us. We constantly have to adjust to him. We can't tell him to get in the R today when he already made tomorrow. Mm-hmm. 23. And I thank thee, Daniel said, and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Sometimes God will reveal the things to you that he has no reason to reveal unto you. And you say, Lord, why are you saying this to me? Because he wants to bless you and he's making you room for who he called you to be, Mr. and Mrs. King and Queen. I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. If he's telling it, you're worthy. If he's using you, you're worthy. If he's calling you, you're worthy. Now, get up, disciples, and pick up your cross and follow him. God's not asking you, stand up and tell me what you did last night. He's saying, stand up and follow me. Oh, you want to get quiet on me now? Because the guilt saying, don't say amen. Tell the guilt to shut up and give a louder amen.
Amen.
Man, I can't wait for y'all not to be able to hide under y'all mask so I can really see y'all faces. Go to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Oh, I preached myself happy. I got to go lay on the couch now. Lord have mercy. 1 John 4:4. First John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children. We are all, no matter how big you think you are in this world, no matter how big you think you are in the streets. Okay, I know my sister Tiny swears she's big in the streets, okay? Listen, I know. Jesse, keep her in prayer. My sister been thinking she is a street girl all her life, and she's never been, never will be, but, you know, we all want to be something. Okay. She is a secret, in her mind, gangster. I don't know where it came from, Jesse. Just pray for her, okay? Ye are of God, little children. That humbles you when you say little children. That humbles you. When you say, I am a little child under God, Mr. and Mrs. Know-It-All. Amen.
Amen.
I love that scripture. And sometimes I read that scripture just to keep me where God wants me to keep, so that a title is never bigger than God.
Amen.
I look at it and say, no matter how much responsibility you give me, no matter how many people you have called for me to lead, I'm still a little child under you. And I love that, because it takes the pressure off of me. Because under him, I'm just a little child. And I'm like, Daddy, listen, I need you. You understand? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you. What is he saying? When you say, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, greater is he that's in you. When you say, Lord, take me as I am, greater is he that's in you. When you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and take my life and show me who I am, greater is he that's in you. But when you say, I got it. I'll come to church when I get some things together. Then you can't claim the scripture. You can't say greater is he that's in you, because he's no longer in you. Even if he was in you at one point in time, he's no longer in you, because our flesh has booted you out and evicted the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was younger. I got saved when I was 14. Loved me some Jesus. 14, 15, I was on fire like Mariah. By 16, I wanted to be a teenager again, and the Lord had to go. Okay, I was like, what are you talking about? I'm about to hit junior year. I got to get it popping. Okay. I can laugh at it now. Thank God he didn't, forget about me. That's when he said he'd never leave us nor forsake. I know that's true, because every day I said, Lord, thank you, because I was ignorant. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You can try to act all quiet all you want. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you. Greater is he. Greater is he. If he's in you, you got this thing. Now keep making the adjustments. Amen. Keep making the adjustments. Because if you're not making the adjustments, you're constantly settling. Back to where you were. Back to how you thought. Back to how you used to live. Back to what you used to want. Back to what you used to think was right. Back to who you thought was right for you. Back to what you thought you needed. Back to you deciding how you need it. Back to comparing things. Well, you don't do it the way they did it. Well, God broke you up with them, so why would he want the new doing it the way they did it when he don't even want you back with them? Okay.
Okay.
If we're not constantly making the adjustments, we're constantly settling back into where we were. That's why when we take a day off, we've settled in that day, back to where we were. Now, the more we settle, the harder it is to get the peace of God. Amen.
Amen.
The more we settle, the more we don't read, the more we don't pray, the more we say, I got it, the more we settle back in, the louder the flesh becomes. The easier it is to fall back into a habit we thought was conquered. It was conquered, but we settled back in. I was so strong in that thing. I had overcome. You did overcome, but then you settled back. If we're not constantly adjusting, constantly, constantly, because we're constantly doing something. The adjustment. I'm get ready to end. Go to Genesis chapter 18 for me. Genesis chapter 18. I love it. We're going to go to Genesis 18, 14. Genesis chapter 18, verses 14. Genesis 18, chapter 18, verse 14. Are we there? So in this time, it was dealing with Sarah and Abraham. And, you know, God was getting ready to rock their world. And I want you to understand that you're all going to deal with a season of God rocking your world. You're going to deal with a season of God saying something that you didn't think was possible. You're going to deal with a season of God saying something to your pastor about you that you're going to think, you might have missed a mark on that one, Pastor. Because he's going to say something to you that you're going to have a Sarah moment, that you're going to laugh internally like, nah, you must have got your signals crossed, Pastor. I think you were talking about the fifth row, not the fourth row. Amen. I've done that plenty of times in my life. God said something to me, and I was like, oh, you got the signals crossed with me. You must have been talking. I used to say it all the time. That message was for Bishop Jakes. That wasn't for me. You couldn't give that to me. And I used to say that, oh, my God, I can't tell you how many years ago I would say that, oh, you were talking about this person. This message you were given to, it couldn't have been for me until you can recognize wait a minute. Why are you trying to say that God can't give it to you? Who told you that you weren't big enough? Your past? Who told you weren't big enough? Those people who never knew who you were anyway, so they treated you like somebody that you were never that person anyway. So you adopted and adapted to a person that you were never supposed to be. So you were doing things you were never called to do with people you were never supposed to be with anyway because you didn't know who you were. So now that the right thing is being said to you, you can't receive it because you have been consumed with doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. So now right is not relevant to you anymore. I can't even get with right because I'm so used to wrong. Well, God's going to have to stretch you out for a while. He'll get you in a season that you're getting stretched so that you can believe what God says. And you're wondering, Lord, why am I getting stretched? Because you've been crooked for so long. That you're in a season of being stretched. Everything is being stretched. Your thoughts being stretched. Everything you thought, you were so opinionated. Your thoughts being stretched. You were so ready to be the boss. So God has fired you. You can't make any decision. You were so strong. Now God is allowing people to say things to hurt your feelings. Why? To break you down. You're being stretched, not punished. Stretched, not punished. Not tortured. Stretched to realign you so that you can fully be used. Are you getting this? I used to be, stop saying what you used to be, because God is stretching you, realigning you to repurpose you and rebrand you. Stop talking about your past. Your past is only supposed to be used now for testimony. That's it. That's it. That's it. Only to help another soul, not to keep talking about what you used to live. God's trying to put it in a bottle. Stop twisting the cap. Somebody say the adjustment. Somebody say, I'm under an adjustment. Because we all are. And if you won't say it, you're a liar. And the truth not in you. That's the word of God, not mine. Read. The Bible says when we say we haven't sinned, it says that's scripture. It says that then the truth is not in us. Amen. So we have to understand this. We have to understand I'm in an adjustment. We're all adjusting to something. Whether we will articulate it or verbalize it or not, we are all adjusting to something. And some of us, we're being stretched, and we didn't even know we were being stretched. We thought we were being tortured or this or that. No, God's realigning you as we get ready to end this thing in chapter 18. So I said, and Abraham and Sarah, they were being stretched past what they thought their capacity was. Woo. They were being stretched past what they thought their capacity could handle. They thought they were at a specific point in their life that they knew how their life would go from there. And then all of a sudden, God says, you're going to birth a new creation. Have you ever thought, I'm too settled in, this is how my life is going to be, and then all of a sudden, God says, you're going to produce a new thing? Have you ever thought something was all closed up, and that's the end of this chapter, and then God spoke to you and gave you a night vision? Ooh. made you giggle like Sarah. Made you laugh a little bit and say, oh, Lord, the signal's crossed again. You got to be talking about so-and-so. That cannot be me. And then God says in chapter 14, it says, is anything too hard? Abraham said, is anything too hard for what? For the Lord at the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. God will return back. He will say it to you. And then he will come back to you and do what he said back then. He will say it, give you time to receive it, give you time to digest it, give you time to receive it. And then he'll come back to produce what he put in you at that point. But sometimes, and then I got to get out of here, sometimes God will give us something and we will reject it and say, that can't be me. So it laid on the ground, so God can't come back. Because you didn't receive it. And then we say, things aren't going my way. Well, it would have been if you would have picked it up. But you compared that to your past and said, oh, I don't qualify for that, so I can't grab it. You know why? Because you stopped making the adjustments and you start settling back in to who you were and what you did, how you did it. Never thinking that I can be all what God called me to be. Never thinking, as the word says, suddenly. Never thinking that God can suddenly change my thought process, suddenly change my movement, suddenly change my philosophy, suddenly change my atmosphere. I've learned some things over time, and I've learned the power of words. I know the scripture. I know the Bible. But when the Bible says that we can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You gotta be able to receive not only the knowledge of God, but you gotta receive the word that comes with the knowledge, so that word can live in you. That word is Jesus. That word is how he died for us. That when you have that relationship with him and know that he died for you, it's a purpose on the inside that he died for a reason. Why do you think your flesh won't agree with the enemy and make you think that you're not worthy, you're not qualified? Why can't you ever say, I must be qualified because devil, you won't leave me alone. I must be qualified because Lord, you keep speaking to me no matter what. I must be instead of I can't be. The adjustment. I've been stuck in this for so long. Who said you're going to stay stuck? Because you've been stuck. Thank God Joseph wanted to get out of the ditch and didn't get comfortable and take off his coat and make it a blanket. You'll get that later. How come we want to settle in and say, well, I guess this is where I'm going to be? Instead of saying, I know the Lord's going to send for me because he's purposed me. And he spoke to me in a night vision. He showed me who I am. So if I'm here, I can't stay here because this isn't what God showed me. I know it's going to work out because God already gave me a night vision. Oh, I was in a dark place, but God gave me a night vision. And he gave me a flash, and he let me know, and he gave me a glimpse of who I was. And that glimpse did not reflect this. Oh, Jesus. And when you can receive what God says, sometimes you can look at people and say, oh, you weren't in the vision, so I know you're not going to be with me. Sometimes people can bump their gums. I tell my daughter Tip all the time, you know, I laugh, you know, me and her have a great relationship and she always tries to talk some stuff to me. I'm like, girl, you bumping your gums. Sometimes people, they just bumping their gums and you can look at them and say, based on what you're saying, I know you're not in my destiny. So if people can try to tell you some things and you can look at them and instead of getting mad, you can smile and say, oh, you're not in the night vision. Because I was in a dark place. And when God showed me my way out, you weren't there with me. And sometimes in the night vision, God will show you some people to show you who you should never be around again. And sometimes God has to let it get so dark that you won't forget that dark place, so you'll never go back to that darkness again. Sometimes God will use some things and some people as a springboard for us to know that I always got to stand on you because you were the springboard that made me go up. And instead of being mad at him, I thank you for being you, because you helped me know my place, and my place was above where I was with you. The adjustment. There are churches that I used to be angry with as I was growing up in the things of God and being trained. I used to be angry with them. And then all of a sudden, as the more I went into God, I started thanking God for those pastors, for all of the things that they meant ill, God used for my good. All those things and all those people in those churches and all the evilness and the meanness and the religion and the laws, and all those things helped me be the pastor I am today, so we could be a church of love. And all those rules and regulations and all of this, I'm like, I'm tired just following the rules. Amen. I'm thankful for those experiences, but I had to make some mental adjustments and say, Lord, I can't be angry all the time and serve you the way you want me to. So I got to give you the anger, and I got to forgive them, for they knew not what they did. They just didn't know. They didn't know, and I'm not even mad at them for not being able to see it, because how could I be mad at them for not seeing what you put in me if they couldn't even see who you were when you walked the earth? And that keeps me humble. That keeps me humble. Why would I be mad at them for saying, well, they should have known? Well, if they didn't know with you, because they were so blinded with the sin when you were here, how do I think I'm bigger and better than you, Jesus? So let me just say, I forgive them, because they just didn't know. The adjustment. The adjustment. The adjustment. Hopefully you're getting this. And sometimes with the adjustment, sometimes people need to, you got to flip the switch on them. Flip that never again switch. Flip the you lost switch. Flip the it's over switch. And they can say, well, give me another chance. I gave you 275 chances. There will be no 276. It's over. I'll pray for you. The Bible says, you pray for them that despitefully use you. I will pray for you. But the Bible also told me that I owe no man nothing but love. So I don't owe you a 276 chance. Got a little dizzy doing that. Got to hold on to this. Remember, I had to lay down earlier. I'm getting out of control. The adjustment. If we don't make the adjustment, they'll make the adjustment for us. And how many times have we allowed them to make the adjustment for us and we got mad? He's given us the free will to make decisions and choices. We can't be angry with anyone else's choice any longer. Amen. Why be angry with them? They have what we have, a free will. Amen. We have to make the adjustment, because if we're not making the adjustment, we're settling to the adjustment that they're making by pulling us where they want us to be. I want you to say, as I'm done, I want you to know, and then I'm done. God has called you to be the head and not the tail. But it's your choice to be the head or the tail. He's called you to be the head, not the tail, but it's your choice to decide which one you want to be. Because if you decide to be what God called you to be, you're going to have to continually make the adjustment to be who God called you to be, or you'll settle to what he didn't want you to ever be. And most of the time, we failed because we were the tail. We operated as the tail. And God didn't call us to be the tail. So he can't continue to stay with us when we won't be who he called us to be. And if we keep being with the tails, then by default, we can't be the head. Because if we keep saying, I love the tail, I love them, Lord, I love them, I love them, I need to be with the tail, then we, by default, aren't being the head. So by default, we have given up what God wanted to give us. And it's not that he didn't want to give it. He can't give the tail the blessing. And the tail is the one who think they deserve it. I'll let you take this home. Will you think? think all the tales that God has separated you from, aren't they still saying what they deserve and who didn't do them right? And giving you the excuses and the reason why they're not getting what God's only saved for the head. And they get mad and jealous of you when you start operating as the head and he starts giving it to you. But as soon as you keep taking what he gave you to the, and feeding the tail, it's gone. But it will come back when you recognize who you are and make the adjustment. At this time in our life, God is calling you to rise up, to have relationship with him, not relationship with all. Relationship with him, not relationship of all. Everybody won't like you. Everybody won't love you. Everybody won't respect you, and everybody won't understand you. They didn't do it to him. Why do you think they're going to do it to you? I hope we're getting this tonight. God didn't call you to be popular. He called you to be the child of God. He didn't call you to be the funny one. He didn't call you to be what your flesh wanna be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He called you to kill your flesh so the Holy Spirit would be able to dwell on the inside of you. But we have to make the adjustments constantly. Constantly saying no to us. Because if we don't say no to us, how can we say no to them? If you're not telling your flesh no, you'll never tell someone else no. But if you're pleasing your flesh, you'll want to please everybody else. He loves us so much. He wants us to have so much. But we have to keep making the adjustments to get what he wants for us. So eventually we'll only want what he wants for us and won't be in conflict with what he wants versus what we want. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word that you gave us tonight. You love us so much. You let us know we're an adjustment away from walking in your will. We're an adjustment away from walking with the anointing that you want us to operate in. We're an adjustment away for being who you created us to be. We're an adjustment away for letting go of the old and gravitating to the new. We thank you, Lord God, for the new wine that's coming into the new wineskin. We thank you for the old wineskin that we're destroying so that the new can be poured on the inside of us, Lord God. And we can receive it, Lord God. We can hold what you're pouring. We thank you, Lord God, Father, for newness. We thank you that we're letting go of things that we carry so that we'll have room in our arms to receive the new things you want to pour. We drop the past hurt, the past disappointment, the past anger, the past thoughts. We let go of what we carry that doesn't bring us the peace and the joy that you want us to have. And we receive your joy and your peace. We receive your love. We thank you, Lord God. And Lord, we forgive them for they just didn't know who they were hurting. But you said in your word, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. You said every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned. So we will let you be the Lord. We will let you be our protector. We'll let you be our shield and our buckler. And we will be the little children unto you. And we will lower ourselves unto you and submit ourselves unto you, and not to have you to lower yourself unto us and submit to our will. We thank you for our adjustment today. We thank you for the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual adjustments that have been made as your word has fallen on good ground. We thank you for sealing us with the confidence that greater is he that is in us, which is you, than he that's in this world. which is our enemy. So let us grow in your word. Let us grow in your will. Let us grow in your ways. Use us as you see fit. And we will not run from your calling on us. We will not demand reasons why you're blessing us or choosing us or calling us or why you created us. We will receive it and we will run with it like the vision from this moment on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. Be safe. We can't wait to see you again on Sunday. We love you. And please invite someone here. Invite some guests so we can love on them and they can hear the Lord speak unto them Sunday as well. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.